Good morning, everyone. It's my pleasure to say a very warm welcome to each and every one of you. And those who are visiting with us, a very, very special welcome. And that includes those who are sitting in solid ground. We just pray that everyone will feel very, very much part of our service this morning. And it's a very special service when we bring gifts to put under the Christmas tree for those to be delivered to the Belfast City Mission over the Christmas period. So a very, very special service indeed, and you're all very, very welcome, and welcome to stay behind for a cup of tea afterwards in solid ground. We trust that everybody has received their announcements. Please do read them very carefully, for there's a lot going on over the next few weeks, and it would be bad if we missed that. So please do digest it and act upon anything that is of interest to you. Just a few announcements to highlight because of so much going on. This Monday night at 7:30, the calendar meeting. So please do, if one person from each organisation could attend, that would be great. And that would be probably be in solid ground. That's tomorrow night at 7:30. And on Wednesday night, TAP is here at 7:30. But also in Clocky, it's been put back to 8:30 in Clocky to accommodate the switching off on the Christmas tree in Clocky, and it takes place at 7:30 p.m. And then there's a Christmas fair in Kirkson Primary School at 6:30. We'll wait till these ones get in. And then also this Friday here in Grey Abbey, it's a very busy day. The seniors' lunch is in our church hall, and it's at 2 o'clock. So, all I'm saying is if you're senior, you're very, very welcome to come along. It is free, but you need a ticket to get in, and they can be received from Vivo or the Angus Farm Shop. So if you'd like to come, call into one of those shops and get a ticket, and come along at 2 p.m. on Friday afternoon. And then that evening is a switch on of our Christmas tree outside. Now that will take place starting at 6:30 at the War Memorial, when a World War I Christmas truce reenactment will take place. And then it will follow down with the children to around the Christmas tree, and they'll be switched on at 7 p.m. And then Santa will be over in Hoops Courtyard at 7:15. And then the Christmas fair in the primary school will start at 7:30. So that's a busy Friday, but please do come along and be part of that. It would be great. Also, usually every year as a church, we deliver Christmas cards around our villages, Clocky and Grey Abbey. And here in Grey Abbey, we're delivered to everybody in the village plus those in our congregation outside the village. So we have to deliver about 450 within our village. And what I'm asking is volunteers to drop these through the letterboxes. Now, I've divided them up into seven areas. So if you can afford 20 minutes or half an hour this week sometime or some evening or some during the daytime, if you walk around the village, you could drop them in the letterbox. Or if you're in your area, please do. Come and see me after the service, and I will accommodate you with a few Christmas cards to deliver. And if you don't, I'll come and see yous. So a volunteer is better than one to be asked or be told. Aye, that would be right, Heather. So please do, if you can, it would be very much appreciated. But this morning, we have come to worship and to praise God. And the call of worship, we pray that I was thinking about what the call of worship, and we're bringing gifts, to show God's love to the children in Belfast. And I was thinking of what verse, and the verse just came to me, and one of the best known verses in the Bible, and it's John 3:16. You know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. You know, in that short verse, there's two gifts, the gift of Jesus and the gift of eternal life. I know, and some people just don't accept that gift, and other peoples have accepted it. So to call to worship, I would like us all just to read this verse together. So John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And our first praise this morning is a real rousing hymn, the days of Elijah. And in the verse it says, in the line says, lift your voices. So let us lift our voices and sing this, days of Elijah. Let us come before God in prayer. Let us speak to him. There's no God like Jehovah. Lord, we come this morning saying that with thankful hearts, that there is no God like you. And Lord, we thank you for your goodness, especially at this time of year when we start our Christmas festivities. Lord, it is our prayer that we may not miss you this Christmas. Lord, we do recognize that you have given us the best gift, the gift of Jesus. And Lord, it is our prayer that we may not refuse that gift this morning. Lord, we pray that we may embrace it with all our hearts and with all our might. So Lord, we do ask that you may simplify our Christmas so that we do not miss you because of the activities and the traditions that we have put in place. We just pray that you may take away any barriers that stop us celebrating the true Christmas. Release the joy that has been in us and been crushed in us because of pride and the wrong priorities in our life. Lord, we pray that the joy of this Christmas will be overwhelming for each and every one of us. Lord, we do ask for your forgiveness for the things that have been wrong in our lives this past week, the things that we've done that has upset you and people around us, those things that we didn't do that we should have done that would have pleased you. So, Lord, we pray for your correction in our lives this week so that these things will not happen again. So, Lord, we do thank you for your goodness. We thank you for the blessings that you have bestowed upon us in so many different ways. So, Lord, as we sung this morning, Salvation Comes, Lord, we pray that each and every one of us could say, Salvation has come. So, Lord, we just ask that your blessing be upon this service. We bless Neil as he brings us your word. Bless all the young people that are bringing the gifts, and we ask that the blessing be upon all those that will receive us. So, Lord, we just ask that your blessing be upon this service this morning. Amen. The reading is going to take from Luke 4. Verses 14 to 30, and that's going to be read by Rebecca.
Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread throughout the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. And he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it was written, The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me, to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began saying to them, Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. Isn't this Joseph's son? They asked. Jesus said to them, Surely you will quote this proverb to me. Physician, heal yourself. Do here in your hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum. I tell you the truth, he continued. No prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the sky was shut for 3.5 years and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha, the prophet, but not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian. All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of the town, and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built, in order to throw him off the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. Amen.
Yes, we're going to sing again. I need to get my glasses on. Right. Aye. Give thanks. No, I've missed a bit there. I have missed a praise, right. Even so come. Sorry. Get it right.
See you out this morning. So what we're going to do now is we're going to give an act of offering, an act of giving, but it's not money. We'll do that in a minute or two. But we're going to bring our gifts that you've all prepared and bought and picked. And these gifts are all going to come. They're not going to go under the tree. There's some under that tree, but I know what this is like. There'll be a sitting on top of Scott and we'll not see him. He'll be buried under presents. So we'll maybe bring the other gifts up. There's one or two have sneaked one or two in there. We'll bring them and put them under the table. Will that do you this morning? So if you've got a gift, bring it up. And if you're one of the younger ones in the congregation, just you take a wee seat down there then when you're finished. And I'm going to talk to you a wee minute or two. So bring your gifts up now. Santa's special delivery. Do you want me to take that one for you? Good job. Just bring them forward and set them in below there up. For that do. Aye, just pile them in there. There we go, that's wonderful. Great job. Just stay there now and sit on the floor, big man. You're not too big. You're not too big. That's brilliant. There's more coming there now. Excellent. Oh, I forgot the thing that I have to bring in with me. Just talk amongst yourselves, I'll be back. Well. I've got a gift this morning as well. But what I discovered was this gift is not for under the tree or under the table. This gift is for... Hands up at the front if your name's Neil. Just me then. Oh, we've got a wee gift in here. Right, there's a card. Get rid of that. That'll be Christmas to Neil from somebody. This is a bit more interesting, isn't it, the gift? Mind you, it's a bit... Do you ever sort of... try to feel the gift and try to guess what's in it. Well, hey, this is, feel the weight of that. It's light, isn't it? You have to give it a good... It's not rattly either. Don't do that with your gifts just in case there's something in it. It's definitely not rattling. I've stopped guessing. I'm going to just get it opened. What's in it? Hoo-hoo. I love Christmas. Oh, I love gifts. Brown paper. Right. Oh, throwing the lid from me. Right, give me a wee hand here, come on. Let's have a hook in the box. What have we got? Oh, there it is. Is that it? Brown paper and that. One sock. Look at the state of it. Big tote, one, two, three, well, so these are five toes in your... Have you ever seen a sock like that? That's a rip. Have you ever seen a sock? Did you ever get the gift of a sock? What sock? That's not what good to me. 2 feet. Suppose I could wear it for an hour in this foot, and then I could swap it over, put an hour in this foot, and then each foot would only be cold for an hour. But that way, huh? That's a bit disappointing, wasn't it? I was all excited. That box looked lovely. Box was wrapped lovely. One steel eye sock and a card. Let me see who sent it to me. Unbelievable. Flipping. One sock. One sock. Who sent it to me? Merry Christmas. Oh, what was that? Fell there. A £20 note? Whose name was in the box? Neil. Thank you. This is now called theft. And you see this boy here? He's a policeman. Mark, what happens to people who steal money?
They get in trouble.
Thank you. Give it over. I can take it if you want, like. Thank you. Right, Chris, give me the £20. I can tickle this out of you. There you go. Somebody give me a £20 note. So what can I do with this £20 note? Buy another sock. Hey, that'd be some sock for £20, wouldn't it? Oh, you could buy a gold sock for £20. I could buy lots of presents. There's probably about, well, in today's price, there's probably about 3 fries on there. Oh, £20 of petrol in the Nova would take me out for a day outing. That's actually turned out not to be such a bad gift after all. Well, sure, it wasn't. I looked at the box, I got all excited, sure, I just threw the card away. I never really considered the whole gift. And then I ended up being disappointed because there was one sock in there. Like, one sock? But now you've got £20. And you know, people did the same with Jesus. They saw Jesus and they got all excited. And then when they sort of looked at him, that passage that Rebecca read, and we're going to talk about a bit more about it in a minute or two. But what happened was, Jesus came in and it was great. This boy had come into his hometown and he was standing at the front and he had opened up the Bible, the scroll, and he started talking about the Messiah coming, and they've been waiting for the Messiah for years and years, the Savior of the world. And then whenever he says, I am the Savior, they get very disappointed. They thought, sure, he's only a joiner's son. He couldn't be the Savior. But we know the rest of the story, where Jesus goes on to become the Savior, become something even more precious than my £20 note. Yes. My £20 note. Never see the light of day again. So, I want you boys and girls to remember this. See, whenever you're opening all of your gifts at Christmas, and I know sometimes you can get excited and you open the thing up and you're expecting great things, and then what can be in the present? Something like clothes. Oh, clothes for Christmas. Oh, somebody's going, clothes for Christmas. And the boys are all going, clothes for Christmas. All of those gifts have been thought out and people have given them to you. And those gifts are great. But guess what? The clothes you'll grow out of, I said this at the primary school the other morning, didn't I? Some of the gifts can get broken. Things like that. The greatest gift, the most expensive gift. I mean, Jesus is so expensive, you can't even put a figure of money on him because of what he has done. He's the perfect gift. And we don't want you to be disappointed in him. We want you to realize he's the best gift ever. So, for all our gifts, we're going to be thankful. And we're going to stand up now and sing, give thanks. And when we sing the song, if you want to maybe just go back to your seats now, because you're going to stay in this morning. So you want to go back to your seats now, and we'll all stand and sing, give thanks. Heather, just now that she sat down, I'm going to invite Heather to come up and lead us in our prayers for others this morning. Thank you, Heather.
I've wondered what he's drinking. I think it's oxygen. I tell you, what a lovely hymn to start with. Right. Get organized. Prayers of supplication. Let's take a minute to clear our minds of all that's happened in the past week. As you open your calendar and see all the things that are on your schedule, do you gasp? I can't do it. Perhaps we feel overwhelmed by some of the things we have to do, we must do, we need to do. And maybe you said you would do, and now you're regretting it and wishing that you could get out of doing it. Well, for the next few minutes, take a break and spend time as we pray over many areas in our prayers of supplication. Maybe some of the prayers will meet your need, and maybe a friend's or some situation that you know of or care about. Let us pray. Lord, hear our prayers. Well, Lord, what do we pray for? The needs around us. Lord, are so many and so varied. The list is so long, and each one of us have personal needs, hopes, and requests that we want to bring before your throne of grace. Especially, Lord, this morning we remember those who mourn the loss of a family member or a close friend. We want to think of Harry and his family. We remember the victims of the London incident. Wars and rumours of wars. So many, Lord. We remember the sick, those in hospital, those waiting for results, and those this week who have had appointments cancelled. And we also pray, Lord, for our hospital staff under stress and strain at present. We remember those who are worried about their jobs or lack of work, making decisions about their future, those in financial difficulties, especially at this time of the year. Give us wisdom with our spending. Help us to remember the reason for the season. Lord, we remember our schools, colleges, and universities, all very busy with exams, the hopes and expectation of children and parents, which were added to by the outbreak of the winter flu bug. And well, Lord, we want to pray for a quick restoration for all to full health and strength. We remember our young adults at this time. This can be a very difficult time for them as they have to make wise decisions, careful choices, when so many festive parties are taking place. And we ask, Lord, for safe and considerate driving on our roads at this busy time of the year. Lord, we want to also remember those who are sleeping rough, those addicted to drugs and alcohol, and those with mental health issues. Another one of our requests, Lord, is that we're looking at elections, and we want to pray for our politicians. We want to pray for guidance for them and wisdom for us as we place our votes. Oh, Lord, we remember those scattered around the world, family and friends, but especially, Lord, our missionaries and their families. And we thank you for the modern technology that can often mean we can be in contact with them. Oh, Lord, at the beginning, I said the list of intercessory prayers would be long, and there are many more we could have remembered. However, Lord, we want to thank you this morning for listening. Speak to us in the days ahead from your word and from the various carols and all the fun and the things that we see around us. Remind us of the many needs of people around us. Guide us and give us wisdom on how to help and support those in need, whether that need is physical, or mental, or spiritual. Lord, we ask that you would hear our prayers in Jesus' precious name. Amen. And if you need some help with your prayers, please see that you've got TAP prayer list. Thank you.
Thank you, Heather. And as the regular members of our congregation know, we have a prayer ministry team who meet before the service and bring some words to us, and they mean things to some people at some times. So there's one for this morning. There's a statement within a picture that says, "In God's sight, the things that really matter seldom take place in public." And there's a passage of scripture, Luke 4, verse 12, "Do not put the Lord your God to the test." If that means something to you, or if God speaks to you in any way today throughout the service, please feel free to come back and to the church here after the service, and there'll be somebody here to pray with you. We're going to sing again, standing together to sing "Beautiful Saviour." Continue to worship God now with our tithes and our offerings. Your offering will now be received. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for the opportunities that we have just to, not just to worship you, but to give. We've already given this morning, Lord, the gifts that are under the tree and under the table. And Lord, we just thank you that we can do that, giving other boys and girls whose mum and dads don't have the money, or they don't have the circumstances to be able to give gifts. And we thank you that we can help out. And for this offering here, Lord, the offering of money, Lord, we thank you that it helps us to keep our building warm and dry, in a place where we can come to worship and serve you. And Lord, also, we know, Lord, that you will take this money and you will bless people, Lord, that we will never meet, people that we won't see until that day when Jesus returns. And we'll all be with him together, with you in heaven. So, Lord, all of our acts of worship, Lord, we offer them to you for your glory and for your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you to everyone who's taken part this morning in our family service. You know, that's what God does. He creates us to be a family, not just as in grannies and grandads and mums and dads and boys and girls and brothers and sisters, but as a family all together as we meet to worship. And we meet to worship him and we gather around his word. Now you might want to open your Bibles to that passage where we read about the greatest gift. Not a very Christmassy passage, I know, but as I was reading through it, I just realized there was something that God maybe wanted to say to us today, that Jesus is our greatest gift. And we hear a lot about Jesus, particularly in Luke's gospel. Luke writes a lot about baby Jesus. That's where we go to get the most of the stories about baby Jesus. We actually hear the angels appearing to Mary. Remember that story? Telling Mary that she was going to have a baby in the first place. And then the baby arrives. And all of that first few chapters only gets us up to when Jesus was 8 days old. That's not very old. Just 8 days old. And then we're told that his mum and dad take baby Jesus and they go and they live in this place, this town called Nazareth. Then there's another story. And it jumps from when Jesus is 8 days old to when he's 12 years old. So that's a lot bigger. Just leaving primary school. That's the story. And we get Jesus. He's in the temple. He's gone with his mum and dad from Nazareth back to Jerusalem. There's a special service that they go to a couple of times a year and he's there. And everybody's amazed because he's given good answers at the children's address, basically. And he's actually challenging the people who are the ministers and the teachers because his knowledge is so great. And then we hear nothing about him. They go back to Nazareth again. And now we're here at this story when he's 30 years old. That's really old, isn't it? Wow. Being 30 is really, really old. A couple of boys down there looking at the floor. Being 40 is even older. 50 is even older. 60 and 70 and 80. I don't think we have any 90s in the room, but we have them in the congregation. Maybe not this morning. But Jesus was really old. 30 years of age. And we see Jesus here in this story. Just before we get to our passage, Jesus heads off because here's this boy called John the Baptist is baptizing people. And he goes out to meet John the Baptist, not because he needs to be baptized, but this is Jesus going out and becoming a minister. This is where he gets a public recognition that he is going to be a minister and what John does with him there. And it tells us he's 30 years old. But he's gone out to the Jordan, which is a fair wee bit away. It's a bit away from Nazareth. He's had to go on a bit of a journey to get there. And now that he's allowed to go and preach, he's on his way back home again. And he stops in different towns and different villages. And he goes into their synagogues and their temples and he speaks to them. And he talks to them and he's getting a reputation. People are speaking well of him. And in verse 16, he comes back home, back to his hometown. And he goes to church. That is his custom, it says in the passage. So Jesus regularly came to church every week. And we encourage you to come to church every week. Even when the weeks you don't feel like coming to church. Those are the weeks, folks, you need to come to church. Because those are the weeks where God does business with you when you're in fellowship with everyone else that probably doesn't happen elsewhere. So we encourage you to come to church as Jesus did. He came to church. But this Sunday was different. This day that Jesus came to church was different. Because could you imagine we're in the middle of the service or just at the start of the service and somebody walks in and they go, Neil, don't you worry today, I'm going to preach. That's what really happened. Somebody come in and Jesus come in and he says, reach me that scroll. And the scrolls reach to him. And he opens up that Bible. So it's a big scroll. You know what a scroll looks like. And he finds this passage. And Jesus reads it out to everyone. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now that passage is a lot longer than that in Isaiah. But Jesus stops at this particular part because this is the part about salvation. And this is where Jesus, he stops. And he reads this out, and I can imagine everyone's surprised, first of all, at Jesus coming in to teach. And he reads this out, and everybody's, it says in the passage, they've fastened their eyes on him. So they're looking up, now they're not looking up at him. They're all looking down at him because I'm taking this to our session meeting on Tuesday the 10th. that we should be biblical in all that we do. Okay? So, from now on, I'm going to sit and preach and you're going to stand and listen. Okay? George, put that on the agenda. If we're going to do it the way Jesus done it, that's the way we should do it. Not really. You're going to be allowed to sit. But that's what happened. So they're all, Jesus was sitting, they're all standing. Now I can imagine a couple of maybe, I better be careful here. Senior members sitting in the back row. This is no reference to our back row in our congregation at all. But I can imagine a couple of them sitting going, oh boy, dears, that's some passage he's picked for his first sermon in his own congregation. This was a major passage. The prophecy of the Messiah. Wait, we hear what he does with this. Ah, shush. Would you shush? Do we hear him? Can you imagine just the back row? They're all going, boys, this is going to be something here. Good fella. Fair play to him. He's definitely set the stall out. And then Jesus says, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Now, this was a big statement. Now, you know the way, I haven't got a microphone here. We'll pretend this is a microphone. Do you know the way when you see somebody on and they've said some rapper or some music star or something, and they've said something really cool and then they go, boom, and they drop the mic. I nearly dropped the mic in Clocky this morning and Andrew nearly had a heart attack. Boom, that's it. I've sung it. I've said it. Drop the mic. That's what Jesus was kind of saying here. But of course, whenever singers and rap stars and things do that, it's because they're cocky and it's because they're arrogant that they think they're just great. They can just, boom, drop the mic. That's not what Jesus was doing. But it was quite a boom statement. Jesus was sitting just announcing himself to be the Messiah. So whenever Jesus reads, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. Me. I'm the one who the Spirit is on. It is me who is anointed. It is me who's going to do all of these things. It is me, he says, who is going to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. I'm bringing it in. I am the Messiah. Now, this was not a new story. The people have been waiting for this Messiah for generations. So generations of grannies and grandas have passed this down through the generations for years and years and years. But of course, there's been some talk about this more recently. Because if you think of the story in Luke's gospel, angels appeared to Mary, to Joseph, to Zechariah, to Elizabeth. And then Jesus was born. And then angels appeared to the shepherds out on the hills and told them that the Messiah had been born, and they went out to see the baby in the manger, and they went out and told everyone else, and then they took baby Jesus, 8 days old, to the temple, and there was a man called Simeon and a lady called Anna, and they said, this is the Messiah. So people have recognized that Jesus is the Messiah, but it's all been very quiet for 30 years now, and Jesus is saying, right, I am the Messiah. Now, initially, the response was pretty positive. They were amazed at the words that he was saying. But you know, he wasn't the first one to say this. There was a number of other people. There were a number of other people. When Jesus was 6 years old, somebody else stood up and said, oh, by the way, I'm the Messiah. And caused a real stir in that region. And then the Romans just quashed it. You're no Messiah. And they dispersed all the people who thought that this other person was the Messiah. You don't find that story in the Bible. That's in history. That's in Roman history. So the people were always very skeptical whenever somebody stood up and said they were the Messiah, because the Romans didn't like it. And the Romans used to come in and they used to just stop that story from spreading. So of course there was going to be some questions. Of course there was going to be some probing questions. And as they're listening to Jesus, somebody sort of looks at him and goes, here, isn't that Joseph's son? And the reason why they were looking at him and going, isn't that Joseph's son? That wasn't just to find out who his daddy was. They were saying, isn't that Joseph's son? You know Joseph, the lowly carpenter. You know the boy that lives out in the edge there? If you need something fixed, he'll fix it for you. Lowly carpenter fella. You see, their idea of the Messiah was this guy was going to come and triumph. Because the Romans, they were making everybody do what they wanted. The Romans were the bosses. And then the Jews, they said, well, this Messiah comes, we'll be the bosses again. We'll be over everyone else and they will do what we say. And we'll be the greatest nation in the world. And that's what they thought Jesus was coming to do. And they couldn't look at this guy who was a lowly son of a lowly joiner and think that he was going to be some great ruler. But Jesus knew what was going on in their heads. really what was going on in their heads, they weren't going, oh, isn't this Joseph's son? They were going, isn't that Joseph's son? Who does he think he is? You know the way sometimes, folks, you've heard this statement, it's usually behind somebody's back. They think they're God's gift to rugby or football or teaching or the financial world or whatever world you work in. There's somebody, who do they think? They're God's gift to think. But Jesus was able to say that. He literally was God's gift to us. He's the greatest gift that has ever been given. But the people can't see it. They're looking at it and they're all confused. And quite frankly, they're all disappointed. But they're more than disappointed. Because Jesus knows what's going on in their head and he quotes a proverb to them. Now, this proverb that Jesus quotes is not a proverb that we find in the book of Proverbs. So don't go looking for it. You won't find it there. It's more of a local saying. It's not inspired by God. And so it hasn't made its way into the Bible. But it's just a local saying. So we don't know exactly what it means, but it's sort of like this. Listen, we've heard you saying that you can do A, B, and C, but we don't believe you. So like a doctor, heal yourself before you come in here telling us you can heal anybody else. But Jesus is not going to jump to the tune of their disbelief. He rebukes them for putting the familiarity of who he is ahead of what God is actually revealing to them. And then he reminds them about Elijah and Elisha. And this example is particularly offensive to them because this example that's used here from Elijah and Elisha was two men of God, fathers of the faith, working with Gentiles. People outside the Jewish family, people from another family, another type of people altogether. And the Jews never thought for one moment when the Messiah came that the Messiah was going to do anything for the Gentiles. The Messiah was going to do everything for the Jews and they were going to become number one over everybody else. But now they're being told that this Messiah is going to be for the Gentiles as well. And they get cross. The fury rises in them. The reaction to this mere suggestion that the Messiah would do something good for the Gentiles. Now, there's a couple of things in this passage that we wouldn't maybe just read straight away, but they take Jesus out and they're going to assassinate him. They're going to throw him off the cliff. Now, that's a big thing because only the Romans can decide if someone's going to die. So really what they were going to be doing in the Roman world was committing murder. They were so cross. They were going to take Jesus out and assassinate him. And they were going to do it on the Sabbath, this special day when nothing like that ever takes place. They were so cross, they were like, ugh. They weren't even thinking straight. But whatever Jesus does, whether it's his authority that he had at times, or sometimes Jesus did this way of disguising himself, and people just didn't, they could have been stunned and going, where'd he go? Whatever it was, Jesus remains calm, and he walks away from that situation. And as we think of the reaction to Jesus, it's remarkable how the people would react to this good news, who Jesus was. But we've got to remember that these are the first people to hear this news from Jesus. Some of the first people. And it was such a departure from what they thought. And they didn't think it was going to be this lowly guy. They thought it was going to be some big ruler, some king or somebody from the royal family or something like that. That's who they thought was going to be the Messiah. So we have to cut them a wee bit of slack for not getting their head around it. But here's the truth, folks. We have a whole New Testament. All these stories about Jesus. We have hundreds of years of church history. We've had this story for 2,000 years. And there are people out there who are as confused about it now as they were whenever Jesus first announced it. Maybe you're in this room today and you're as confused about this story. You've heard it over and over and over again, but it makes no sense. You can't get the dots all joined together. You can't get the full picture of what this gospel is really about. Many people have heard this, and their reaction has not been to be confused or to be angry about it, but their reaction has been to, Jesus was the greatest gift, and what he did for me. And now, if you're here this morning and you believe that Jesus is the greatest gift, and you've asked him into your life, or you've turned away from the sinful life, and you've turned to that life of following him, then you now are the Jesus that people see. You are his representatives here on earth. And you're the people who God has commanded to go and share this good news with other people. And that will be difficult. There's no doubt about it. Now, don't be going, oh, aye, you see there now, Jesus, it was hard for Jesus to be a prophet in his own town, so that means I don't have to speak to people that I know. That's a job for somebody else. This week, our discipleship groups have been looking at what it means to build relationships with other people, with unbelievers particularly, so that you can get to a point where you'll be able to talk to them about Jesus. Because if he just left it there, then we could rightly say, no, hold on, I'm not talking to the people closest to me because it's too difficult. We read through the rest of the New Testament. We looked at the passages. Some of the first people, the fishermen who saw Jesus and dropped their nets and followed him, the first thing they went to do was they went and got their brothers. The tax collector, he went and got all his tax collecting mates and they all sat down and brought Jesus into their house. Cornelius was a man who was a Gentile outside of the Jewish faith. And he had a vision from God, and he went and he sent for Peter, and Peter came, and they both had visions, and they came together. Cornelius filled his house with people, his friends and his family, to hear about the good news. So we have no excuse. We can't use this passage as an excuse to say, no, I'm not going to talk to people who are close to me. We are to talk to all people to bring this good news of Jesus Christ, the greatest gift. And we do it the way Jesus did it. Now, Jesus was special. Perfect person, Son of God. He was God. But even in his full humanity, he walked, he had to eat, he cried, he felt tired. He felt all the things that we feel. And he could only go out and do this by the Spirit's power, the power of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus was baptized, the heavens opened and the Holy Spirit came down and rested upon him, and that filled him up with the Holy Spirit. When we believe in Jesus, when we say, Jesus, I believe you're the greatest gift, then he gives us this gift of the Holy Spirit. So we have the same Holy Spirit as Jesus had. Jesus is here speaking in his home church by the power of the Spirit. If we go to speak to people, we've got to say, Holy Spirit, I'm going to speak to somebody here. I need your power. And we just pray and he'll give us the power to speak to people. When Jesus went out into the desert to be tempted by the devil, he went out in the Spirit's power. So when the devil says to you, oh, don't bother saying to them, or the devil tries to take you on to a different path from the path that God has taken you on, because that's the devil tried to get Jesus on another path, not the path that God had for him. The Spirit will give us power to deal with the devil. God is stronger than the devil, but he's stronger than us, the devil is. But if we use God's power, we can beat him. No problem. The Spirit helps us to deal with all of the reactions to the good news of Jesus. He helps us deal with the negative stuff or the angry stuff. And he helps us deal with that point where people want to come to Jesus, and he'll give us words to say to help those people accept the greatest gift as well. It's almost Christmas. Trees up. Hands up if you've got a list going for Christmas. Yeah, lists for Santa. List of presents. Ladies, list of gifts. List of housework to be done. List of people to invite. People that you have to invite you don't want to come. All these different lists. How many of you have got telling people about Jesus as a top thing on your list this Christmas? No matter what age you are, from the youngest to the oldest. Is that our number one priority this year? Greatest gift ever. Somebody last week won 105 million pounds, was it, or something? 105, 106, make 100, that's a lot of 20 pound notes. 100, get your head around that. Eh? And if they die tomorrow, there's no pockets in the coffin. It means nothing. They could put it in a bank, and somebody could digitally go in and hit a few buttons and ask them a few questions and take them, remove that money out of their account and put it into their account somewhere around the world. It could be stolen from them. And a moment like that, this gift that we're talking about, folks, is eternal. It's a gift that holds on to us. It keeps us. It keeps us safe. It walks with us all the way through life and all the way into eternity. Are we not going to put that number one on our to-do list this Christmas? I hope you do. I hope you pray for opportunities. Pray for the Spirit's power to be with you wherever you go so that we can share this good news of Jesus, taking his name to everyone that we would meet. We're going to stand now and sing our final piece of praise. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. Let's stand together and sing to the glory of God. blessing of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit would rest and remain on us both now and forevermore. Amen.